I'd like to acknowledge in a special way before the homily begins, families of two young people who will be making their first communion today, Miles Perron and Maria Gilry. Due to special circumstances, they were not able to make their first communion with our program a few weeks ago, but they'll be making their first communion today. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai to present the covenant of God and his commandments to the people of Israel, he declared, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And from that time on, every time the Jewish people would begin their worship of the Lord, it begins with that phrase, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." We echo that every time we as Catholics begin our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, acknowledging again that there is only one God in whom we believe, one God in whose name we have been baptized, one God who is Father, Son, and Spirit, in whose image we have been created. We do not believe in three gods, but one. One God who expresses himself as the Father from the beginning of time, who is united to the Word, his Son, who comes forth from the Father. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. And that love generates the Holy Spirit. Three divine persons, equal in divinity and majesty, each distinct, but yet one God. Question is, why is that important? Why is that important? It's hard for us to understand the importance quite simply because it's hard for us to comprehend the entire mystery of three persons and one God. We can understand Jesus, of course, being both God and man. It's not quite that difficult. It's quite easy for us to understand that he would become one like us in every way except sin, to suffer and die and rise from the dead. So we'd have forgiveness of sin by his sacrifice, to receive new life through his resurrection. We're all very familiar with that, very comfortable with that. But to wrap our heads around the immensity, the very essence of God, is difficult, and rightfully so. That's what really takes faith. That's what really takes faith. But yet at the same time, we understand deep down inside that there's a truth to it. Even though we can't explain it, even though we can't understand it or comprehend it completely, we know that it's true. Why? Because that is the very essence of who you and I are. In Genesis, in the beginning, God says, "Let us make man in our image." Who's the Father talking to? It's in the plural. And we know that we're not animals, so we're not made in the image and likeness of animals. We know that we're not angels, and so we're not made in their image and likeness. So who is God speaking to? That's the great mystery of the entire Old Testament. Let us make man in our image until the Son of God would come among us. And as the Gospel of St. John begins, in the beginning, going back to Genesis, there was the Word God spoke when he said, "Let there be light," and created all things. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God the Father. And the Word was God, but was not the Father. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that the Word is not the Father because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became man and lived among men. At his baptism in the Jordan, we see the beauty of the Trinity right there. As the Son of God is being baptized and the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. When you and I were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were drawn into that life, made a sharer with the Son of his own body, to be brought into the church, to become one, that we would live in Christ and Christ would live in us, to find its fullness in the Blessed Sacrament as we receive the body and blood of Jesus and he comes to live in us and we in him. And how is it that the bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ? How is it that you and I become part of the body of Christ, the church? Again, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms the bread and wine and makes it Christ. Transforms you and me to make us like Christ. Why? To the glory of God the Father. That you and I could live as sons and daughters of the Father and give God glory by being led by the Spirit and living in the Son. Deep down inside, we know that. We belong to something greater than ourselves. We are meant for something greater than this world. That we are guided by something greater than any human wisdom. It is by God. We live for the Father. We return to the Father. When we return to the Father, He wants to see the image of His Son in us. The Son that is clearly etched out in us by the grace, the power of the Spirit. Truly a great mystery, yet at the same time, a great truth. This is who we are. This is how we are made. This is what God wants us to be. With God, we see unity and we see charity. This is exactly what the Father wants for all of us. Unity with Him, unity with one another. To love Him and to love one another. It's all about unity and charity. None of us can live in division. None of us can live in hatred and say that we belong to God. As St. Paul says, you say you belong to Christ, but yet you go against Christ. If you go against Him, you can't be with Him. We have to be on the same page, to use modern language. We see so many people today, so many divisions of Christians. Again, the work of the devil to divide us against one another. We see divisions even amongst the church. Divisions in families. Again, we go back to Genesis and we see Satan doing exactly that. In his insidious way, dividing Adam and Eve from each other. Dividing humanity from the rest of creation. Dividing all of creation against God. But Christ comes to bring all things into one in Himself. And so we pray for unity within ourselves with God. We pray for unity within our families, in our communities, our nation, state, our world, in the church, and as Christians, that we can become one as Christ and the Father are one, as Christ Himself prayed. To be made one by the Spirit, to be united, to be one in charity. And why is the devil so insistent on dividing us? Think of it quite simply. If in an army, the people who fight in the ranks decided that each one was going to do his or her own thing and not obey commands, not fulfill what the objective is, but say, I'm going to do my own thing because I want to be who I'm meant to be and do my own thing, follow my own will, what happens? The army loses. The army loses. And the same with us. If we in the church decide, I'm going to do my own thing, believe my own thing, follow my own way of doing things, and well, then we can't call ourselves Catholic anymore, can we? If each one follows his own way, like Isaiah says, all like sheep have gone astray, each following his own way. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. They follow me. And I lead them. We're made for that. We're made for unity. We're made for charity. We are made to represent the Blessed Trinity Himself. When you look at Adam and Eve, you see that when God makes woman, it was not good for the man to be alone. He had no one with whom to share love. And so God creates Eve from His side. And just as Eve is bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, so Jesus Himself is with the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. Begotten, not created, not made like Eve was, but He is of the same substance as the Father. But what does God tell Adam and Eve to do? He says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And how does man and woman do that? It is by the gift of love in unity. Adam and Eve are united in marriage. In their love, they bring forth life. And thus the Christian family represents the very Trinity Himself. And families make up the church, which is in and of itself the family of God. The splendor of the Father, the grace of the Son, the power of the Spirit. As we ask the Lord's blessing that we can live as He created us to be one in heart and mind, to live in unity and charity, I'd ask that we all just kind of be quiet for a moment as we offer our hearts and minds in the prayer of a soon-to-be Carmelite saint from France, Blessed Elizabeth of the Trinity, who wrote a beautiful prayer that sums up this great mystery that we contemplate today. As she prays, just kind of pray along with her in your own heart. O my God, Trinity whom I adore, Help me to forget myself entirely, that I may be established in you as still and as peaceful as if my soul were already in eternity. May nothing trouble my peace or make me leave you, O my unchanging one, but may each minute carry me further into the depths of your mystery. Give peace to my soul. Make it your heaven, your beloved dwelling place. May I never leave you there alone, but be wholly present, my faith wholly vigilant, wholly adoring, and wholly surrendered to your creative action. O my beloved Christ, crucified by love, I wish to be a bride for your heart. I wish to cover you with glory. I wish to love you, even to dying of it. But if I feel my weakness and I ask you to clothe me with yourself, to identify my soul with all the movements of your soul, to overwhelm me, to possess me, to substitute yourself for me, that my life may be but a radiance of your life, come into me as adorer, as restorer, as Savior. O eternal Word, Word of my God, I want to spend my life in listening to you, to become wholly teachable, that I may learn all from you. Then through all nights, all voids, all helplessness, I want to gaze on you always and remain in your great light. O my beloved star, so fascinate me that I may not withdraw from your radiance. O consuming fire, Spirit of love, come upon me and create in my soul a kind of incarnation of the Word, that I may be another humanity for him, in which he can renew his whole mystery. And you, O Father, bend lovingly over your poor little creature. Cover me with your shadow, seeing only in me the beloved in whom you are well pleased. O my three, my beatitude, infinite solitude, immensity in which I lose myself, I surrender myself to you as your prey. Bury yourself in me, that I may bury myself in you, until I depart to contemplate in your light the abyss of your greatness. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.